Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
Good, good. Going down to the state fair, and I dialed the wrong number and didn't get Jeannie. I'm hoping she'll be on the phone. If she's not, I might cut out to give her a call on the other line. Oh, I'm so used to, our number has 715 in it, as you know. Well, hers is in her cell phone. In the middle, it's 751. And I thought, an hour later, I thought, gee, I wonder, did I dial that right? It's surprising she didn't call back, fast, because it's in the evening and she's off, not just winding up at the fair. So anyway, I looked on the phone, and by the time I thought of it, I knew that she'd probably be in bed.
Linda Morris
has arrived.
Anyway.
Yes, so is today the day that you and she are going to meet up?
We've already done it once, and I'm going down for the second time. She says that the gal that they're staying with is wanting to, very interested in the business now, all of a sudden. And her husband's works the fair with the guys, and she works at the bank, and she said she's tired of the bank. So, anyway, I'm trying to catch her so I can do an appointment with her while I'm down there.
Right, that would be wonderful.
So anyway, that, and let Jeannie know that Jeannie and I from up here are going down there, two Jeannies.
Very good. So, and you have good weather, I hope?
It's been raining this morning, but it's supposed to be like 81 this afternoon, so we want to get an early start this morning so we're not getting a lot of heat. Because,
yes.
Of course, state fairs are state fairs, and outside, inside, and there's not much control on the temperature down there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That can be a little much to deal with.
But they're fun, and since I worked it for about 10 years, I still know, some of the people down there, or I can refer to it. So it's a good conversation place.
Anybody else join us to say hi? Just Char and me, Betty.
Good morning. This is Steve.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Glad to hear that.
I was going to get to correcting my error that I made yesterday, and I was going to also look up and see when the next seminar was or 10-day program was at Parkview Adventist back there and send it to Steve and, well, send it to everybody that's regular on here. And I didn't get it done. Anyway, the date on the one back in Pennsylvania that I said run for 5 days was actually July. It was on the previous magazine. It wasn't Healing Foods of Veggie Times. It was the one that was earlier in the year. So,
Had researched that, after the first time you were saying there was one in the Pennsylvania area, that
uh-huh.
I had seen the one in Johnstown that was in July and was feeling kind of bad that I didn't know anything about it. And the next one coming up is in Bethlehem, PA, which is really over the other side of the state.
Okay.
And a good long drive.
They flip back and forth, so Johnstown would be closer for you.
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
Watch for that for another next year, because they seem to have it every year.
Right, yeah, I've seen it before, but, I just hadn't paid a lot of attention to distances or anything. So how far is that a drive for you?
Oh, it's a couple hours.
We do Seattle, usually every quarter to every 6 months, and that's 2.5 to 3 hours, so depending on where it is up there.
Yeah, I think
or even
pretty
three
much
and a half
frame.
Huh?
I think this is pretty much the same time frame as far as distance.
Yes, it would be probably like ours, because ours is always right around the same date of September every year, so.
Right. Right. Anybody else want to join us? I heard some clicks. Want to say hi? Okay, anything on anybody's mind before we get started on today?
I was muted. Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Someone else just arrived. Want to say hi?
Good morning. This is Onita.
Hi, Onita. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing okay. I finally made Char's bacon last evening, so I'm having bacon for breakfast.
Hi, where are you having it with?
Huh? What?
What are you having it with?
She's having a few pieces with some cantaloupe and then my tins and balance.
Okay. I love the, love it on the veggies. Actually, I put it on the casserole that I made that you had bacon on.
Yeah.
And I really like the chew. Now, did yours come out kind of chewy?
That second one that you gave that had a little bit of oil in it, and it comes out, this one comes out crispy, but my husband still says it's too chewy for his false teeth. So.
No, I meant did your casserole come out with a little bit of chew to it, the okra? The casserole, yeah.
Not really. It depends, I guess depends on how long you bake it, but.
Well, I had it uncovered for an hour.
Okay.
And I put the bacon on it. I put the bacon chips on it the last 30 minutes because I wasn't sure whether they would get soft, too soft, and I wanted them a little bit crisp.
Or too brown.
Or too brown, yeah. And it was the red. It was red okra. And you said you hadn't used red okra?
Oh.
Maybe there's a different texture to the red okra, too.
That might take a little long. I don't know.
It wasn't so like it. The juice didn't get absorbed into the, from the tomatoes, didn't get absorbed into the, like a casserole normally would be. Or what I think of a casserole anyway. Don't know whether I'm describing it right. But see, I've not worked with okra except in soup. That's the only way I've ever used it.
This usually comes out fairly dry, not with,
okay.
With not a lot of juice.
Okay, it was dry. There was a little bit of juice on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty normal, but I don't really chewy. I haven't made it yet this year. I'm going to have to make it.
You're going to have to think about it now because you guys are used to okra and we're not. So.
Got lots of okra in the
flavor was great.
Yeah, that was on my list to do for tonight for supper, so.
It was just a different texture than what we're used to, because it has with the seeds and all, it just has a different texture to it, but I thought it was great. I enjoyed it.
Did you get those pictures I sent you?
Yes, I could not believe that. Here I'm visualizing this little bush that's not any taller than 18 inches at the max, based on how much mine grew, because it didn't. The one year that I had it.
What's that? The okra?
Yeah, I sent her pictures of the okra plants. I said the other day I thought they were about 4.5-5 foot tall. My husband was standing out there, and some of them were taller than he was, so, and he's almost 6 foot.
Oh, my goodness.
But
wow,
the other,
not at all what I imagined.
That one is kind of under a tree. It's in the shade. The other one on the south side of the garden is in the open, well, more open sun anyway. And that one isn't as tall, but I think he planted them later, too. So it'll probably get there, too.
Yeah.
Don't tell me my cat's got a bird in here. Oh, no, one's out there washing the window. It sounded squeaking like a bird chirping.
The kid's on the other side.
Anyway, the, yeah, now when you say that one's under a bush, is that like just a couple, two, three plants or?
Oh, no, there are quite a few there. But I said they're under
just like in a, they're like in a patch or something.
Yeah. He plants
See,
them
I
in,
thought.
Plants them in rows close together, so.
Okay, because I, you know, I just run it in a row like, you know, our rows are like 50 feet long in our garden. And so
well,
I was just running part of a row like you would a row of, you know, a couple rows of corn. So
yeah, I
had one that.
I do too, but he plants his a little differently, so.
Oh, okay. And they do okay in the shade then too, obviously.
But this is under a walnut tree, which is not the best place to plant things, but the walnut tree has grown and the garden hasn't shrunk any, so.
See, I would never think of planting under any kind of tree. Maybe it's because we don't get that much sun or, you know, that much heat, where you guys probably get a tremendous amount more heat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's back up in the 90s again this week, so.
Different ways of gardening for different parts of the country.
True.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Well, I had this morning an article from our paper that it's an interview with, it's called Breakfast with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Jr. So I thought I'd read some of this article, this interview with him, that I thought was kind of interesting. To begin with, there's some background on him and some things that I certainly didn't know. And the article starts, he's not a household name, but Caldwell Esselstyn Jr. has been a constant and outspoken advocate of what some would call a vegan diet. His 2007 book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, inspired President Bill Clinton to adopt a plant-based diet free of fats and dairy products. Dr. Esselstyn is also featured in the documentary Forks Over Knives, a film that has changed the way many Americans look at their food. He graduated from Yale University, excuse me, and won a gold medal rowing with his 8-man crew in the 1956 Summer Olympics. He went to Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, served in the Vietnam War as a surgeon, and became a researcher at the Cleveland Clinic. At 79, he is still going strong. So the first question is, how long have you and your wife, Ann, been vegan? His reply is, first I should say I retired 10 years ago from general surgery. The reason we got started with this in the first place was in the late 1970s, early 80s, when I was chairman of our breast cancer task force. It was very disconcerting that for however many I was doing breast surgery on, I was doing nothing for the next unsuspecting victim. I thought it would be much more bang for the buck if we could get people to eat to save their heart. Saving their heart would also save them from 80% of these other chronic killing diseases. So to answer your question, 1984 is when Ann and I totally committed to plant-based nutrition. Question is, did you do it cold turkey or did you ease in? His reply is cold turkey. Question is, what did you miss most initially? His answer is, it's hard to pin that down. I guess I could say maybe smoked salmon. And then he laughs. Question is, many people say after doing it for a while, they lose those food addiction cravings. His answer is, what happens is increasingly scientifically understood. In the brain, we all have a fat receptor. As you rapidly down-regulate the fat receptor by not eating fats, you begin to lose the cravings for fatty foods. It makes it so much easier, which is why we always try to get patients to go cold turkey. If you try to do it gradually, you are constantly in a situation of misery and denial because you have not down-regulated the fat receptor. I thought that was particularly interesting I never thought about it in that way. I never approached it in that manner. I thought it was just certainly okay, and I still think it's okay for some people, if that's their approach to it. But for me, I did go cold turkey, and that was the right thing for me to do. But anybody else have anything to say about that?
Well, I have to agree with you on that totally, because that was my thing when we made up our mind to do it, was, you know, a done deal. And to me, it was, I just thought it was my mindset that I'm determined about things, and when I decide I'm going to do something, like when I'm going to go on a fast, there's no cheating. I mean, I can cook a dinner for somebody else in the house, or I mean, I've even entertained people when I was on a fast and sat and drank my broth. I don't have a problem with that. Once I've decided, I've decided. It's like the way I raised my kids. When I said no, I meant no. It wasn't like maybe and I'll give in if you argue enough with me. It was no. And that was the way I was taught. And so, you know, I thought it was that. I didn't know anything about the fat receptor thing. But see, I think about the people that have had the easiest success with it. And I think that's very true from what I've seen, you know, in the past. You know, I give my leeway in a certain area, and that's it. I don't go beyond that. I mean, I don't have to, you know, go back and have 3 days of binging on you know, other foods or whatever to get back in the swing of things. If I eat something that I know is, you know, yogurt, for example. I don't have to go have yogurt every night. In the summertime, we might hit it once a week. And that's it. And I use a normal size serving of it. If I'm hungry, I'll use a little bit more. But, you know, it's not like people talk about, you know, I can sit down and I can't stop. If I eat one chocolate, I'm going to eat the whole box. Or
right.
If I have a bag of nuts, I'm going to eat the whole bag of nuts. That's never been, you know, never been an issue. So to me, it was just the way I thought. But that is very interesting to have scientific proof. And of course, if anybody's going to have it with the number of people he's worked with, he'd certainly be one of them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just thought that was, I mean, you know, I never thought about the whys and wherefores of it. You know, the scientific section of it, I guess, was never part of my thinking, because apparently I, you know, I'm not, that's not the way my brain works. So I'm like you, though. It's when I make up my mind that that's the way it's going to go, it's like, it's a done deal. There's no going back.
Did you go in and have blood tests? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you go in and have blood tests, Betty? Okay,
yes.
See, I did the same thing, and if I was going to spend my money on blood tests, I wanted the best, you know, ruler that I could possibly find. The same as if I go spend money on going through a program, I'm sure not going to go out and cheat.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's my time and my money. So, you know, that's all, to me, that was all dealing with my brain, but the other part of it, and being able to tell people that, that's a great article.
Yes, I think so too. So we'll go on to the next question that was asked. That it says, so basically your taste buds are hypnotized by fats until you snap them out of it. And he says, I like that. Yes. And the next question is, in your mission to change the American diet, you were up against big food corporations, drug companies, and even the government. His answer is, to me, the challenges in life are really what makes it exciting. If you step back for a minute and look at the big picture and ask what is the most extreme radical food consumption on the planet, it would be here, right now, in the United States. 95% to 98% of Americans have no concept of what really is a healthful eating pattern. There are foods that literally within minutes of passing through your lips are going to begin to disseminate.
injure and compromise the ability of the guardian and life jacket of your blood vessels, the endothelial cells, to do their job. It is really no great surprise that everyone practically ends up with some kind of cardiovascular illness. You have to remember, I grew up on a beef and dairy farm, and the plant-based diet was quite a transition for me. But when you eliminate the injurious foods, in parentheses, dairy products and meat, diabetes, strokes, hypertension, heart attacks, dementia, and common Western cancers such as breast, prostate, and colon are markedly diminished. I really feel we could be on the cusp of a seismic revolution in health in this country. It is never going to come about with the invention of another pill or electronic medical records or building another cardiac cathedral. It will come about when we in the profession have the will and the grit and the determination to share with the public what is the optimal lifestyle and to inform them with a degree of nutritional literacy. Then they can become the locus of control. I think they mean focus of control, but whatever. The next question, do your endothelial cells repair when you eliminate fats and dairy? His answer is, there's no question your endothelial cells start to recover. But it would be a bit of a stretch to say your artery would go back to as normal as it was when you were 5 or 10 years old. It can recover sufficiently so that you don't have to have stents and bypasses and can carry on the daily activities of living without a cardiac crisis. Question. In your efforts to get people to see food as medicine, you use the mantra you used as an Olympic rower, press on regardless. His answer is, that's something you have to use from time to time when you are seriously challenged. For instance, there are still physicians who are not familiar with this research and will thumb their nose at the idea that food has this incredible power. Yet when they have a heart attack, it is very exciting to see where they are going to get their ideas and treatment. Increasingly, we have had a number of physicians who have seen the power of this. One reason it is difficult for physicians is they never receive any training about nutrition in medical school, and it is very hard for them to embrace a form of therapy for which they are not remunerated. There's very little or any insurance that will reimburse physicians who commit themselves to instruct and educate the public about the lifestyle which will allow them to avoid these illnesses. The American Heart Association diet does not eliminate dairy. His answer, it's very tragic that the leaders in cardiovascular illness, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology, really have not come forward and acknowledge the fact that coronary artery disease and heart attacks are nothing more than a toothless paper tiger that need never, ever exist. If it does exist, it need never, ever progress. It is a benign foodborne illness. I like that statement, a benign foodborne illness. There are multiple cultures on the planet today where if you were to hang out your shingle as a cardiac surgeon, forget it. You'd better plan on selling pencils. They don't have cardiovascular illness because by culture, heritage, and tradition, they consume a plant-based diet. Question, if food is medicine, how do you feel about genetically modified crops? Answer, I don't want to get into that right now because that would really take a great deal of additional educational background. There are some serious unknowns about genetically modified foods, and sadly, so much of it right now is being created purely for profit. It is so disgraceful that what the government has done. They permit the Department of Agriculture to design every 5 years a food pyramid or plate for the public. On that plate are the very foods that if consumed, will guarantee that millions of Americans will perish. The USDA is nothing more than the handmaiden of the food industry. Having the USDA design a food pyramid for the public
is like having Al Capone do your taxes. Question. You wrote Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease in 2007. Is there anything you would add today? Answer. Oh, yeah, several things I think are critical. These blockages and plaque in people's arteries are an oxidative cauldron of inflammation. We need antioxidants, not the kind you buy as a jug of pills, but a greater emphasis on natural antioxidant foods, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, and more specifically green leafy vegetables, bok choy, kale, Swiss chard, collard greens, broccoli, spinach, parsley, arugula, and I'm sure I left some out, but you just can't get enough of those. The other thing we did not know when the book was written is that one of the real rascals in the whole thing is sugar. Maple sugar, molasses, and honey are in our book. We can't do that anymore. Fructose injures the lining of the blood vessels, even orange juice or apple juice. It is fine to eat an orange or an apple, but when you have the juice, the sugar is separated from the fiber, and the absorption is so rapid. Question,
wow.
Are you still against avocado? I'm a little tough on the avocado along with nuts. Nuts have a lot of saturated fat, and if I ever said that people could have nuts, they would have them in the glove compartment of the car, at work, the bathroom, the bedroom, the living room. How many people do you know that have eaten one nut? So I've been tough on the avocado and the nut because very few of my patients need to gain weight. They almost always carry extra pounds. That's the end of the article, but wow, there's just so much in there, like when he was talking about the maple syrup, molasses, and honey, which puts a whole new slant for me on things again in approach of how I'm doing things.
Yes. That is incredible. Can we access that, or can you get that down to us? I mean, I know people that I think it would turn their heads right now.
Yeah,
I'll
get it to you, Nancy, and I'll put it on the blog today when
okay.
I get that. So,
okay,
so
you can do that. Okay. That's incredible. You know, my vision right now for having it have the impact is have my book that he's written and say, you know, make a couple statements in there that I have highlighted and then hand him the article to read. And I think it will be conclusive enough to get their attention.
Yeah, that was my to either reprint this or cut it out of the paper, whatever way I do it. But I want to also put that in the book as just part of what I have.
Because a published book, you know, when they've had the research out, and then for him to go back and say even the juice and the molasses has to be taken out or we're still looking at heart attacks and all of that, you know, and with his experience, I mean, look at he's 79 years old. Look how much of his life he's put into this. And backed by, you know, the other doctors that have done the same thing, you know, why would you want to look at heart attacks? You know, when none of the other countries that are eating the way they're eating are dealing with this stuff. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You know, we wouldn't run our car on water. There'd be no chance that we would try to run our car on water. I mean, that would be stupid.
But again, inflammation.
Yeah, I mean,
as a repeat again, and that's what he started the program as. You know, all these diseases go back to inflammation, whether it's Alzheimer's or cancer or heart disease or diabetes or inflammation. And he says inflammation is something your body needs because that's how it repairs, but when it goes out of whack is when it causes all the destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, but rethinking it when he talks about, you know, the amount of nuts and the amount of, and it's so easy, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, it's so easy just to add a little more, you know, just nut butter here and nut butter there, and
I will eat just one Brazil nut, sometimes two if they're small.
I can do Brazil nuts. I put them out, and I put them with a, I eat more than two, though. I eat usually four of them with a prune because I like the flavor of it that way, and I don't know why I got on. I don't have an elimination problem, but I just, I like it. I mean, that's an incredibly rich snack for me. I guess I picked some of that up from Oz. Sorry.
I know, in his book, what sometimes I will think of is, would you throw a little bit of fat, oil, whatever, on a fire?
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing when you're eating fat.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I, along the same lines, to kind of change my thing about is, if I'm running around like crazy and I am not eating properly, I will grab like 10 nuts to have as a carryover. So I need to approach this in a different manner and look at it like Nancy's saying, with throwing fat on a fire. Not the wise thing to do. And there's certainly other things. It just takes a little more preparation than grabbing some nuts. So, it's always the easy button that you're looking for.
Well, but even Oz recommends having almonds for a snack.
Right.
So, you know, you're always going to find people who are on one side or the other.
He doesn't have the same level of expertise that Caldwell Edelston has.
Right, they're not going to agree on everything.
And he's also addressing a field that he's trying to move in any way he can to doing something.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to have a certain amount of education, I would think, the percentage is that most people are going to have a certain amount of education before they're going to jump on board eating the way we eat, like what we did.
But he is doing a lot more lately, it seems like, especially with the repeat, which makes me believe that he thinks this is really important stuff about food as medicine.
Oh, right. You mean Oz. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, he's moved a tremendous. But see, again, I think that, a gradual thing with him is he's looking at his audience and what's going to be received.
Absolutely. And he can make any impact, I totally agree with you. You know, he knows that small changes can make big impressions.
Where Esselstein's trying to shake him loose and say, from day one, you guys, you know, a young family, look what you can do. I mean, from day one, let's get our heads screwed on around what we've got and what we're looking at, this country versus other countries. And, you know, people just think we're so smart. I mean, we've got all the answers here in America. I mean, how could any other country, you know, that's a third world country, have something to tell us?
Yes.
I mean, that's our mentality over and over and over. Even if you say it and they agree with you, in the back of their head, they really don't. Because we got this stigma about Americans. We've got the wealth, we've got the education, we've got all this stuff. How could we be wrong?
If we were so smart,
don't you guys
agree?
Yeah.
That superiority attitude, and that really, you know, that's the ego that will take you down every time.
But if we were so smart about all this food stuff, we wouldn't look like we do as a country.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a good piece, I think. I think that's an excellent piece.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'll get it out to you guys so you can get it to everybody else.
That was good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All righty. So we're a little past the time. Anybody have anything else before we wrap it up for today?
No, it was well worth it. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great one.
Thanks, Betty. You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information. Thank you.